Oh, good morning, everyone. If you guys, for those of you that don't know, my name is Pastor Jason. I am the children's pastor here at Jericho Road Church, and I'm excited to be guest speaking for you guys this morning. It's my first time speaking to anyone that's older than me. Normally, I've spoken to those that are kind of at eye level or a little bit lower. So it's a little bit different to be speaking to adults this morning. But I'm glad to be joining you guys this morning. And we're just really excited to continue to worship and serve here. Now, today in our society, we tend to value risk and risk takers. We think of risk takers as, when we think of risk takers, we think of those in our in the business world. We think of risk takers as those that make the world better. Risk takers are considered people that did something that no one believed would work. But now these risk takers are on top of the business world, right? Some of these risk takers include people like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Jeff Bezos, and Elon Musk. These are risk takers that shape the world as we know it today. They are risk takers that have brought value into this world, and they've risked it all in pursuit of making that world better. God created us to matter, and to be risk takers, so we can be blessing makers. We see the truth of this statement in our passage this morning. We're going to be reading through Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said to Abram, "Go to your country. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse whoever curses you. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." God sent out Abram to matter in the lives of others and to be a blessing. God made promises to Abram that he would bless him, that he would protect him. But he also wanted Abram to understand and to realize that he's supposed to be a blessing to others as well. When I look at our church, when I see our church, I see a place that I'm so thankful to be at. I see a church that has many things to be thankful for. I see a church that is thriving and healthy. I see a church that has welcomed me and my family with open arms and welcomed us and made us feel like we're at home. I see a church that has many resources that lots of other churches don't have right now. I see a group of believers, a multi-ethnic, multi-generational group of believers that's not just say love God and love others, but they live it out too. Now, I haven't been pastoring for very long, maybe less than a couple of years. But what we have here at Jericho Road Church is very special. It's something that's really difficult to find, surprisingly. It's really hard to find even in Orange County, which where there's a church around every corner. We have been blessed with so much. And it's important to recognize and remember that we are also called to be a blessing to others. The promises that God made to Abram are the same promises that he made to us. Abram became a blessing when he gave the best plot of land to his nephew Lot. He became a blessing when he spoke on behalf of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He tried to save them before God destroyed the city. He became a blessing to Lot again when he saved them from the four kings. Now, let me ask you guys. Well, in all these things, Abram risked something, right? When he gave the best plot of land, he risked his wealth. When he spoke for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, he risked his name. When he tried to save Lot, or when he did save Lot, he risked his life. So let me ask you guys, what are we willing to risk in order to bless others? Maybe there's that one friend at work that you've always wanted to share your faith with. But maybe you're not sure about how your friendship will change after that. Maybe there's that one family member or someone really close to you who's walked away from the faith, or maybe they're not living well. And maybe you're afraid to rebuke them out of love because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Maybe there's a family member or a close friend who is asking for your help with a new business venture. And maybe you just don't trust them or feel comfortable with what they're trying to do. And maybe it's admitting the mistakes that you've made in the past, being vulnerable, and sharing your story so that you could be known by others. Abram had been created to matter. He mattered to Lot. He mattered to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he mattered to God. God created Abram so that he could be a blessing to others, even if it meant risking his family, his wealth, and his life. This is what God had called him to do. We too have been created to matter. We matter to our family. We matter to our friends. We matter to the people in the seats sitting next to you. And just like Abram, we're called to be a blessing to them as well, even if it's at the risk of something valuable to us. Now, when I hear the word risk, I think when we hear the word risk, I think of it as like an onomatopoeia. It sounds like the word is describing. It's risky to say risk. When we hear somebody say, I'm going to risk it, we are hesitant and say, like, oh, I don't think that's going to work out. And he usually doesn't, right? This is a phrase that we tend to use less and less the older we get. And the older you get, the more comfortable you become in life. And the less willing you are to actually risk anything. But Abram became a risk taker, even though he was in a comfortable place. Let's continue in our passage. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived there, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. Now in this part of the passage, it's indicated to us Abram's age, and it's also tells us that he had accumulated much while this time in Haran. Now, the older you get, the wiser you become. At least that's what people usually say. But Abram was pretty old. He was 75 years old, as this passage tells us. He was not a young man when God had called him. He wasn't what we would consider the ideal age of being sent out. He had also gathered many possessions while he was in Haran. To put simply, Abram was old and he was rich. Now, the author of Genesis doesn't necessarily tell us the mind of Abram and how he was feeling as he was being called. He only tells us what God said and what Abram did. But let's take a second to look at it from Abram's perspective. Abram was old and he was wealthy. He had worked long and hard to be where he was. He was in a place where he didn't really have to worry about much. He was in a good place. He was in a comfortable place. Now, just a raise of hands here. How many of us would like to be in this place, in this comfortable place? Just one, two? I see a couple more. Okay, there we go. Hopefully all of our hands are raised, but I certainly would want to be in this place, right? If I were in Abram's shoes, the last thing I'd want to do is to take everything that I had worked for, all my wealth and possessions that I had, and moved to a land that I knew nothing about. Moved to a land that was hostile towards me. Moved to a land that, frankly, wasn't meant for settling. God had called... If I was in Abram's position, I would be so against what God had called me to do, that instead of him telling me to go to Iraq, I'd rather go to Tahiti, right? I'd say, God, why don't you take me to Tahiti? If God had called me to go to Honduras, I would say, God, can I go to Spain? They speak Spanish there too, right? Instead of being called to Alaska, I'd want him to call me to go to Hawaii, right? It's a lot warmer over there. Now, I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure Abram felt the same way too. I'm sure as he answered the Lord's call and as he was planning and gathering his possessions, he was doubting whether this was what God really wanted him to do. I'm sure that as he was traveling and facing hardships along the road, that maybe he was regretting making this decision to follow God. I'm sure there were times where he doubted if this is what God really wanted. And again, I'm not certain, but I'm sure that there were times where he would do anything to go back to the way things were before. Now, God had called Abram to risk his comfort for faithfulness. Abram traded his comfort for risk, and he left a life of comfort so that generations could come to know who God is. Are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to risk our comfort to be obedient and faithful? Are we willing to risk it all and to trade in the temporary treasures on earth for eternal treasures in heaven? As we look at Abram's story, I hope that we can imitate his boldness and be risk takers and become what God had called us to be. Now, becoming a father has been pretty life-changing. For those of you that are parents in this room, I'm sure you guys can understand. Before our daughter was born, I remember that I was feeling very uncertain and very unsure. For 9 months, I sat there wondering, how can I do this? What am I supposed to do? Am I going to be a good father? How am I going to provide for our family? Will I be a cool dad? Will my daughter like me? Right? But as soon as Ellie was born and I held her in my arms for that first time, all those doubts and worries just disappeared. Those parental instincts, they just kicked in. I realized that my security was in my insecurity, and that I focused on the worldly insecurities of fatherhood, and that I wasn't able to see the spiritual security that I had in the gift that God had given us in our daughter. See, taking a risk doesn't mean that you're unstable. When we become risk takers for God, the world may see these insecurities in our lives. But when we spiritually risk, it can actually expand and change our view of security. So let's go back to the passage here. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram sent out and continued towards Negev. When Abram had finally arrived at Canaan, the Lord appeared to him and renewed the promise that this land would belong to him and to future generations, to him and to his future generations. A land that was filled with hostiles, a land that was filled with sin and violence, a land that didn't look ideal to settle in. Nothing that God had promised had been fulfilled. When Abram arrived at Canaan, there were still people living in the land. But instead of doubting the promise that God had given him, Abram, in response, worshipped God. To the world, this response would seem crazy, right? Nothing was guaranteed. The land which God had promised Abram wasn't even secure. In fact, there were people still living on the land. Not just one, not two, but hundreds and thousands of people. It would seem strange that Abram would give praise to God for what seemed like an empty promise. Now, don't we experience things like this as well? Maybe our career path hasn't quite worked out the way we wanted it to. Maybe our peers are seeming like they're moving forward with their lives and being successful. And maybe we feel like we're standing still and not really doing much. Or maybe we've just had plain bad luck in our lives. But just as Abram praised God for what he had done, we too should give praise God for what he's done. You see, Abram's soul was secure in God, and he knew that however out of reach something seemed, that God was going to be able to come through. Now, I'm not saying this was easy for Abram, and it's certainly not easy for us either. But when we're spiritually secure, our worldly insecurities start to dissipate. Those things that we used to worry about, we just don't worry as much about it. When we're spiritually secure, we risk our worldly security. And it helps us see how he's worked and working in our lives. When we take a moment to step back and look at the promises that God has for us, we might not see them fulfilled today, tomorrow, or even the day after that. But even in those times, we know that God is still with us. Even in those times, we can trust in those promises that he has for us. Now, living life as a Christ follower, as a Christian, by all means is risky. And maybe it's not risky in the way that the world views risk, but it takes courage, it takes wisdom, it takes faithfulness, it takes love and perseverance to live well as a Christian. It takes these things to live well in a broken world filled with sin. But when we know that we're spiritually secure and that we've been created to matter, we can become risk takers and know that God is still with us. We've been created to matter. And because of that, we can be risk takers and risk everything to follow what God has called us to do. My hope for us today is that we can trade our worldly insecurities for spiritual securities. My hope for us as a church is that we can risk it all. We can be risk takers to be a blessing to others. We can be risk takers and be willing to step out of our comfort zones. We can be risk takers and be willing to find spiritual security instead of worldly security. Let me go and pray for us. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time that you've given us. We ask, Lord, that we would be able to take the risk the same way that Abram took that risk. That we'd be risk takers in blessing others. We'd be risk takers in getting out of our comfort zone. We'd be risk takers in finding security in you and not in things of this world. Lord, we are so in awe of you and the promises that you've made to us. Lord, I ask this morning that as we worship, continue to worship and praise you, that you would reveal those promises to us, even if we don't see them with our own eyes. We just thank you for this time. We love you, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.